everyone. It's April, and Tony and I are back this week to talk about our pets, but also to talk to Veronica and get some questions answered. We have some lovely questions today. Everyone here seems to be in good spirits. I cherish all the moments I have now where I don't have a sick pet on my lap. I've been, knock on wood, very lucky the last couple of months that everybody's taking their meds, the meds are working, and nobody's really running around sick here. So it's kind of nice, in a way, not to have that hanging over my head. But also, towards the end of this month, or beginning of February, I have to take Biddy back in for a blood test, because we want to see where she's at with the kidney stuff that she had. Now, if her energy and her little attitude has anything to do with it, she's running around here like a little puppy. She runs from room to room to room. She's annoying the cats, which she doesn't do when she's not feeling good. So she's eating all the food right. She's on her liver supplement. She's doing good, really good. So I'm going to go take her anyway, though, because those kinds of things do sneak up on you, and I want to make sure that she's around for at least a couple more years after that bad bout we had back in, I think it was September, October. Was bad for her. I thought for sure I was going to lose her. I mean, I prepared myself. I kept talking to myself, saying, look, you're doing the best you can. And boy, what a turnaround she made. Just amazing. Tony, how's my little Kai?
Well, your little Kai just discovered his tail.
Oh.
And he didn't know he had a tail. So he went around and around and around, and then he plopped down, and you could tell he was dizzy. So I videotaped it. I put it on Facebook with the background music doing the hustle.
Oh, that's hysterical.
I know.
He
couldn't believe he had a tail. Well, he still doesn't know what a tail is.
Right. That is so funny. Aren't they just the biggest joy that has ever happened? My dogs are the same way. They're just a joy. And they got the little politics going on. I've got cat-dog politics going on over here where the cats think the dogs are idiots. And the dogs could care less that the cats think they're idiots. There's always some sort of thing ensuing. There's always some kind of problem or argument going on, or somebody stole my stuff, you know, please. So there's always something. Yeah. Well, I have 8 cats and 3 dogs. You're going to get a little bit of drama.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
The cats, when they see the dogs coming, you can almost see them roll their eyes up in their head. I mean, it's like, oh, God, here they come. Oh, no.
Well,
so it's kind of fun.
Kai and Q, I mean, she puts up with him. He chases her. She'll lay down, and he'll come up, and she'll just tease him. He loves
her. Yeah, because she really feels she's like 50 times smarter than him. And she probably is.
Yeah. More than likely. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So now you're in the little dog club.
I am. It's a whole different world.
It is a whole different world. But, you know, at our age, I couldn't think I could handle a chow chow anymore.
Yeah, no, it's too much strength.
Yeah, you need a lot of strength. And I remember Tata, she was like 100 pounds. And if she didn't want to do something, it didn't happen. I mean, she would plop herself down like, boom, and that would be it. She wouldn't do it because I couldn't get her to move. And I didn't want to hurt her in any way. And she would just look at me like, I told you no. I don't know what your problem is, but it's a no. So I don't think I could do that anymore with a big dog. I just don't have the upper body strength that I used to have. And having 3 little dogs is like having 3 little 2-year-olds. All exploring, trying to find what they could get in trouble with. You know, and she touched my stuff and she took my cookie. It's like having toddlers.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, I'm going to go get Veronica. And okay. Why don't you say hi to everybody for us today?
You got it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. You know, we got some great questions, and, you know, I encourage you to write in to innerwhispersradio.com, and that's I-N-N-E-R, whispersradio.com. Are you there, Veronica?
Yes, we are. Good day to you.
Good day to you. Our first question, coming from Patricia, do you find as more fulfillment participating as an entity than you did while incarnated in the linear?
Yes, we find both to be of value. The complex energy that we now participate in allows us the full viewpoint of all of our experiences and everyone else's experiences. We have a viewpoint that is vast and eternal. In the linear, it's a little different. Experiences are dense. There's a lot of density and complexity to it. And you can evolve profoundly in it, but it's harder to focus in it, if you can believe that. It's harder to focus in it for when you have eternal vision, it's harder to focus in on the linear. So we would say that would be the only back part of it, the bad part of it, and it's not even really bad. We came into this reality to be helpful, to share our experiences in the linear, and we've had many of them, so that those like yourself who are trying to evolve and are trying all different ways to do that will have a clear picture of how it all really works. There isn't any figure sitting on a throne making decisions for you, telling you what to do. There is a surrounding energy that fills you with knowledge and fills you with the ability to see more in the eternal than there is in the linear. And we think that all of you should aspire to be like that in the linear. But that's a topic for another day, we suppose. But yes, we find them both to be good, but we actually prefer the eternal viewpoint because it's much vaster and more complete.
Okay. Our next question is coming from Angie. Can you describe your current surroundings in a way that we in the linear can comprehend?
It is a fluid environment. It's not like being underwater, but the air is more fluid-like, so that it's not thick and dense, and it's easier to manipulate it and move it around a little bit. Where we're at this moment, we have decided to project a beautiful garden so that we could talk to all of you from that position. The beautiful thing about being in the other side is that you can create instantaneously. You don't have to build anything. You think it and it becomes real. We think that that is something that you all should think about, because the energy in the linear is so much denser that it's hard for you to do so. But where we're sitting right now, we decided today we wanted a beautiful garden. There have been days where we were on a mountaintop. We projected it and we were there. So it's fluid. You can change the channel very rapidly, very different than linear, but it's not as thick and dense and it's not as solid as the linear is. But where we're at, we enjoy it, and we can create anything we want.
Okay. Our next question is coming from Darren. Is there suffering during the transition between lives for a person who is in a severe physical distress? An example would be someone who was burned at the stake.
Well, upon leaving the physical form, all distress is removed immediately because your energy lifts up and out of the body. The memory establishes itself in a form, but however, the suffering is no longer relevant. They know they're supposed to be suffering, but they don't feel it. Whatever issues that remain for the people are accompanied by guides to soothe the soul once it leaves the body. There is no pain. There is no uncomfortableness. You can remember it and you know how you got there, but no, the pain, the physical pain is no longer part of the equation once you lift up and out of the body. And there is no consciousness in the body as it continues to, you know, be taken out. So don't ever think that somebody suffered greatly, especially if they're unconscious. There's no way. And even if they are conscious, the guides come in to protect the energy so that it isn't such a horrible experience, because it can be horrible. So absolutely no suffering. Once you leave the body, that's it. And then you are focused upon the destination and getting to the place where you're going to meet up with family members and loved ones. And then you're going to go to your, you know, life review. So no suffering. Once you're out of the body, that's it. No more suffering.
Okay. Our next question is coming from Ruth. How can I find the name of my spirit guide? I've tried to talk to him or her, but so far have been unsuccessful. Maybe if I have a name, it would be easier.
Well, a lot of times it's difficult for the guide or the angelic to speak through the denseness. And you can go for a long time realizing that there's an energy there that's taking care of you, but you know, it's very difficult to get a name from them. We would suggest going to someone like ourselves or going to a medium or someone to find out, because that's one of the most of the things we do for people when they call in. They want to know, well, who's my spirit guide? And we are easily able to get the names for them. And we say names in plural because oftentimes you have more than one guide. You have one that stays with you from birth to death, and then they even go with you to your life review. There are others, though, that come in and out for various things you wish to tackle and learn and participate in while being physical. So we say, go to a medium, a channel, or someone that might be able to find that name for you. And if not, if that's not possible, if you're in a place where such things, you know, aren't readily available, then we say, go into meditation and think through the experience. Think about how it feels when you are suspecting that a guide is closely by, and ask the guide directly if they will give you their name. Sometimes you're able to get through, they hear you, and they will respond. And if they can't respond with words, they'll respond with some sort of action that will give you a hint or a clue to what they're called. But again, it's always easier to go to a channel, spiritual person, and get the names from them.
Okay, Veronica, that was our last question. I'd like to take a break and come back and give the message to the world. That'd be great.
All right.
Okay. Well, everyone, good show again and great questions. You know, you want more information on any of the topics, feel free to write in to innerwhispersradio.com and we'll get it on the air as soon as we can. Are you there, Veronica?
Yes, we are. We're here. So we've been asked a lot this week when talking to individuals who will come to us for guidance. Most want to know what we can do, or you can do, to alleviate the suffering for those who will find themselves smack dab in a really bad situation. Let's say there's a place like Cold Loran that is having some very difficult times. They're doing things there that they shouldn't be doing, and they're hurting people greatly. So as an incarnate sitting in, say, the United States, there's many of you that look at these images and feel like, well, what can I do? How can I help? Now, you certainly can't get in the airplane and fly over there, because you would not, as one person, be able to do a thing about it. But as a being of light and as a soul, perfect soul, you are able to send energy from your energy across galaxies if you wanted to. So we would say, when you see places where they are being persecuted and suffering, and the current one is the country Iran, sit quietly with yourself. Get into a sort of a meditative state. and send healing over. Send some energy over. Pretend you're holding a baseball and you keep throwing the ball of energy over to around. If everybody did that, and we know we say that a lot, it would have a deep, long-lasting effect. One of you can certainly send one person over there some comfort. So we say, start sending energy, because you are a frequency, they are a frequency, the whole situation is a frequency. Use it. Use that frequency wave to send them some positiveness, some peace, some, you know, less anxiety, no fear. Keep sending that. And in your mind's eye, see it landing like, you know, like a little drone dropping a package down on the planet. You can certainly do that. And if you do it with others, like say a group meditation or something, it's even more powerful. We don't suggest flying to these places and trying to insert yourself, but we do say, let your energy fly there. Let your perspective focus in on things that are going on that can be alleviated by your energy. We would highly advise all who are not in a terrible zone to do that for those who are. It's a scary world at the moment, we think, but let's send that energy. Close your eyes and send some love over there. It will fall upon somebody, and perhaps that person will have a better day, and perhaps all of them will get alleviated from their current pain that they are going through. Start today. We encourage all of you to do it and send energy to any situation, not just the one we just spoke of, but to any situation that you feel needs assistance. Keep your eyes open, look for it, and if you find it, make note and start sending energy to it and encourage others to do the same. Or have a prayer group or something where you get together with others and make it even more powerful. The world needs that kind of help right now. And even though it's invisible, doesn't mean it's not powerful. So start sending it today. And hopefully, through that action, many will be saved from suffering.
Veronica, great message. And I want to thank everyone for listening to the show today. We'll be back with you next week with more questions. Until then, have a good weekend. Bye-bye.